Okay, so just a side point over here, a relevant side point, that we came across this concept the other day. I couldn't remember where it was, but it's a medrash. Rashi quotes it. It's in Bereishis Rabba. Rashi quotes it though in Bereishis Chof Aleph Chof Gimel. Okay. So it says like this, Vayhi Vaisahi, Vayomer Avi Melech Ufichol Sar Tzavo El Avram Lemar, Elokim Imcha V'chol Asher Ata Osa. So Avi Melech recognized that Avram was under Hashgacha, and he said, V'ato Hishova Li Belokim Heina, right, swear with me here, that what? Im tishkor li ulanini ulanechti. If I lie to you, if you lie to me and my son and my grandson, okay. Kachesed asher asisi imecha tasa imodi. The chesed that I did with you, you should do with me. V'ma'aras asher garta bo. And with the land that you have lived in. Okay? In other words, so he says, swear to me by God that you will not deal falsely with me, nor my child, nor my grandchild. Right? That was his bris. That's what he wanted to make a deal with Avram. So how many generations? Him, his son, and his grandson. That was the deal. So Rashi says, Rashi quotes the Medrash, Ad kan rachami ha'av alabim. That's as far as the concern of the father goes on the son. Up to the third generation.
After that, they don't care?
After that, they don't care.
He said, swear to me and to my...
Swear that you won't deal falsely with me, my son, and my grandson. Ad kan rachamei av al abein.
Really?
What is it, al abein there?
Meaning his progeny. That's as far as the person thinks about. That's as far as he plans ahead. That's as far as he's concerned. But the point is, you don't feel close to your endless generations. You don't feel that type of closeness. At least at the outset, you don't think of that. All right. So, anyways, let's get back to our case over here. So, I think we left off with we wanted to take up a couple of the havaminas. So, one question was the havamina that the chasan is like another generation, right? As we're searching for a source that a shlishi is possible to a rishon. When the Mishnah only has sheni, is as far as the Mishnah goes. So the Gemara proposes that it's true the Mishnah only has the case of a sheni, but the sheni who's married in the chasan, right? The chasan. In the place of the in the door of the sheni is equivalent to a son who's in the door hashlishi. Right, so Rashi says, Chosan beno, right, kevan de chosan lo havi mizaro. Since the chosan is not from your bloodline, ume alma osi, he comes from the general world, general population. Kidor shlishi choshevle, Rav. Hilkach b'ni nami la'achi abo avi shlishi b'rishon pasul. So it's an argument from the fact that the Mishnah says chasen, right, is pasul to that would be what? From the fact that the Mishnah says the chasen can't be made for the nephew by marriage. Right, that's the case. Right, your niece's husband. Niece's husband can't be made to you. So that's really a sheni to a rishon. His nephew is a sheni. But since he's married,
isn't he your cousin?
No, I'm constructing my own case. No, I'm constructing this
your
case.
Brother's son-in-law.
Your brother's son-in-law. Right? You don't have any marriageable... nieces yet, but if Tamara were married, that would be the case, right? and be your
right.
your sisters or your brothers, whatever, son-in-law. So then he's saying, really, technically counting, that's a sheni to a rishon, because it's up to the grandfather. But since it's from me'alma, it's tantamount to a shlishi, tantamount to another generation. Right? It's tantamount to another generation. Okay, so what's that logic? In other words, just the flow of the Gemara. The Gemara is saying that if you're going to... What's the matter? To the best of my knowledge, this is the way the Gemara goes. Okay?
Okay.
That's all you can ask for. At this moment in time. So... The original suggestion was that when it says chasam in the Mishnah, it means this other generation, this generation, right?
No, that the
your son, son-in-law. If you're Rav,
no. When it says in the Mishnah chasam bonav chasonav boneim vechasoneim, it means bneim and the chasonim of the bonim. That's the one,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And then the Gemara says you run into problems with Rabbi Chiya.
Right.
This was a step. Okay.
Okay. So then you run into problems with Rabbi Chiya. Okay. But when the Mishnah said, when the Gemara says, Chasen is the regular Chasen, but that would by implication include the grandson. That would, by implication, include the third generation. Then the Gemara doesn't say you're running into problems with Rabbi Chiya. That was bothering you.
So now
the problem with saying third generation is you have to include more than 24. But what about the new answer? The new answer says the chasan is like another door. So then, doesn't that mean that the Mishnah is saying that another generation is usher? So why isn't that a problem of having more than 24? In other words, he's getting to the same
24.
Because it's only the count of the ones in the Mishnah, not the counts of the implications of the Mishnah.
Meaning it's only one step implied, not two steps implication.
In other words, the first answer we said was the Mishnah really lists three generations. Because it says your uncle, his son, and his son-in-law. Then the Mishnah itself is actually listing a third generation. Then that messes up Rabbi Chiya's count. But in this answer, the Mishnah is only listing the uncle, his son, and the uncle's son-in-law. That is the count. Rav, that count is 24. Rav says, but we can derive from the fact that a son-in-law is included, that would also mean a grandson is also usher. But that's not in the Mishnah. Rabbi Chiya was just counting the people actually in the Mishnah, not all of the Isurim that we learn from the Mishnah. So if you say the Mishnah meant the chasan of his son, then the Mishnah itself is including more people. But if you say, no, the Mishnah only means his son and his chasan, but if the chasan is usher, then the grandson is usher, that doesn't change how many are in the Mishnah. Okay? That's what you were asking.
We'd be learning the third generation.
It just helps us to realize, this helps us to get out, it helps, it shows how the Gemara was getting out of the problem of not adding more people to the Mishnah, but yet including more, a third generation.
Okay.
Okay.
So he learns it.
Which leaves us to the question of what is the idea that if a son-in-law is usher, the grandson is the same as the son-in-law. That's the theoretical question that we have to tackle. If a son-in-law is included and he's just ploni almoni me'alma, he's just a stranger who's coming in, then the grandson is definitely included. So what's that for? And there's a maskana, and the maskana is no, that they're the same. Maskana is no, that it just goes by generations.
I think it's
Kedor Acher is the question. Is it like a Dor Acher? That's the interesting way to put it.
So it's maskana.
Is it Kedor Acher? The maskana is, it's not Kedor Acher. And just because the son-in-law is usher, that doesn't mean that the next generation down would be usher. So it would seem the Havamina is that we're looking at the Chasan as related. In other words, there is the Iker relationship, there's the Iker family. That would include the uncle and his children, right? That's the ichor relationship. That's the backbone.
It's the skin.
The backbone.
Curious.
And then the chosen is included because he is associated with an ichor. Right? Now this would be the ichor. That's the ichor relationship. The fathers and the son and the daughter. But then the Mishnah is teaching you another categorical concept, that not only the backbone of the relationship, but attachments to that relationship are included.
It's like a bone.
He's a joint.
A joint. He's like an appendix. So the backbone is also a joint. The things that are joined and attached to are also included. So therefore, Rav's argument is good. How is the son-in-law usher? Because he's associated with a karov. Then a grandson is certainly associated with a karov, right? So it's not laying out a new concept of a dor shlishi. The new concept is attached to a karov, associated, a nisbach, associated to the karov.
So
if this is the Havamina. This is the Havamina. That since that the Mishnah is telling you what? It's telling you who are the real Krovim? Your brother and his children. Those are the essential Krovim. How does a Chosin come in? He's Me'alma. So that means to say he's not really your nephew. He's not really your brother's kid. So what does that mean? He can't really join, he can't really become part of the family. So what does that mean? There's another time of being fossil as a karov. Those who are mitzuraf to the karov, those who are associated with the karov. So if the chosan is fossil because he's associated with your niece, then your nephew's son is definitely associated to your nephew. So then he should also be possible.
What defines association?
I like that more than this. I don't know. I mean, that.
So what is the copy of Gozer playing?
Yeah.
So what is the maskana? What is the maskana? No, so the maskana, though, is really it works on a generational level. Right? And the chassan is included because he's considered part of the same generation as his wife. He's considered, in other words, the point I'm trying to make is like this. This is a little bit of a subtle point here. Ready?
The Havamina is a immediate family level?
Yeah, the Havamina, it seems to me logical. Yoni, you'll corroborate or disagree with me on this, but it seems to me logical to say that this idea of making the argument that the chasen is equal to the son depends on looking at them on an individual level, as individuals. And therefore you'll say that there are individuals who are defined as Krovim, and then there are associations of those Krovim. So there's no difference, dare I say it's even the Kal Vachomer, that if the husband is possible because he's associated with the wife, then the son of the son is a closer association with a father than a husband is to a wife. Okay, so then I have a good Kal Vachomer. That the Mishnah said it has to be a Kal Vachomer, because otherwise you can just derive one thing from the Mishnah if it's not a Kal Vachomer. So if you're going to look at it in terms of individualistic level, so I'll say there are primary Krovim, and then there's a new thing of associates of those Krovim, the qualities of those Krovim. So if the husband is the quality and an associate of the wife, then the guy's own son is certainly an associate of him. Right? So the fact that I'm entering in the chosen must include the ben. Okay? But that's saying like we have primary people and then their associates. But if you're going to say that the maskana seems like it's learning according to the way we were describing it the other time, that there's sort of like a generational issue. It's like a generational family. And beyond that generation is not considered family. Now, Chassan doesn't disprove that. Chassan is just saying that you can be included in that generation by through the wife. But just because the Chassan is included in this generation, you can't make the son in that generation. That's not a possibility. You understand? That's destroying the idea of generation. Now, if you're going to say, you hear what I'm trying to say? If you're going to say the chassan, either you're going to look at it like this, that the sister is really the relative, and the chassan is because association. So then any relative you can have this idea of association with. Doesn't matter if it's a generation down. Because it's not a generational concept. Krovim is not a generational concept. There's no limitation of generation. But if you'll say there's really a din of generations, and then just because chasn is included doesn't mean the ben is included, because chasn can be considered part of his wife's generation, but the son can't be part of the father's generation. That's impossible. So the havamina and the maskana is really a question: what can I derive from the inclusion of chasn? But that depends on your outlook of the psul of krovim. If your outlook of the psul of krovim is individuals, then generation is not an issue, and I can just equate chasen to ben. But if my coming into it, I have a concept of krovim in terms of a generational framework, then the fact that I include chasen will not include ben, because chasen can sneak into the wife's generation, but a ben cannot. It's not possible. Then you're undermining the whole idea of generation. Is that clear? Now it comes out that me'alma is better, because a me'alma has no prior definition. He can take the definition of the wife. But a son can't take the definition of the father, then everybody is on the same generation. If you want to know that if Baila Ki'ishto is bothering you, it's a pasuk from last week's Pasha. That's what the Gemara is. The Gemara says on the next Alma, I know people are very anxious about this. The Gemara says a pasuk from last week's Pasha, because it says, listen to this pasuk, you tell me what's funny about it. Ervas achi avicha lo sigale. So what does that mean? Ervas achi avicha. I want to ask you to translate ervas. But what's achi avicha?
Your
father's brother. Lo sigale. El ishto lo sikra. What does that mean? Ishto. To his wife. So that means your father's brother's wife. Don't go close to. Do dasichahi.
She's your aunt.
She's your aunt. So that's what the Gemara says. You see, the Torah is saying that your father, that your uncle's wife is considered like your aunt. It's considered like your father's sister, because your father's sister is your aunt. And the Torah is saying your father's brother, don't go close to his wife because she's your aunt. So there's a drasha by like Ishto. Ishto Kabbalah. Oh, so that's the answer. Halachically, they also, All right, so where are we? You missed a lot of fun stuff, but all right, we're back. So where are we now? What do we have left here?
Should be recorded all that.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, you're recording right now. Is that what you meant?
Yeah.
You missed a lot of fun.
Right. So now we're up to the drasha. Now we're up to the question of where did Rav really get this idea from? Right? So let's just go through the facts so everybody has them, and if you want, we can come back and think about it for tomorrow. But it goes like this. I drew a new chart here for you. It goes like this. You have Avram, Yitzhak, and Yishmael. Okay, so now Avram is not in the story, but we say Lo Yumasu Ovos. So Ovos refers to Yitzhak and Yishmael, the thing, right? Lo Yumasu Ovos. Al Banim, it means Yaakov and Nevayos, Yishmael's son. Okay? So that's Shani, and that's Shani's. That's up to Shani's. So how does Rav get a Shlishi? He says, because it says U Banim. So U Banim implies a third generation, another generation from the Banim. So U Banim would include Reuven, let's say. But to who? To Yishmael. Because remember, it's saying Banim al Avos, and Avos al Banim. So it's referring to Avos al Banim means the brothers to their respective children, his nephews. And U Banim means even the great nephew. Right? That's U Banim would include a Rishon to a Shlishi. But not a Rishon to a Shani. I'm sorry, not a Shlishi to a Shani.
Not Ishlishi Tushani, that's not in the Pasuk. Right? So what, that's Rav. What does Rabbi Eliezer hold? He says, I agree with you, Ubanim includes another generation, but then the Pasuk says, Ubanim al Avos. What does that mean? It means every Av that the Bain is usher to, add someone to that. So since Ubanim drops you down from a Rishon to a Shlishi, al Avos will include Yishmael's son, but not second cousins.
So I guess you 3-2 is kusher?
3-2, no, it's included.
That is puzzle, so what's it called? To testify?
To Rabbi Eliezer, that's right.
According to Rabbi Eliezer.
According to Rabbi Eliezer. According to Rabbi Eliezer, it will be 3-2 is puzzle. Right? America, we call these first cousins. Right? We call these second cousins. And what do we call Reuven to Nevoyos?
First cousin.
First cousin
once removed. First cousin once removed. So according to Rabbi Eliezer, second cousins can testify, but not a first cousin to a first cousin once removed.
So why do you only go down on one side of that?
That's what you have to think about a little bit.
Why?
In other words,
okay,
you're only going to add to the father that's in the pasuk. That's the trick here, right?
From the Ubnei Banim?
From the Al Avos.
Okay.
From the Al Avos. Right, he's saying Ubanim includes Reuven, and then Al Avos goes back and say, well, who can't Reuven testify for? Av. Who is the Av? Yishmael. Well, Al Avos, there's someone else on that Av that he can't testify to. That's Nevoyos. That's the drusha. That's, you'll read it through. You'll see that's the way the drusha works.
But how do you get to Yishmael? I see Avos Avos Abanim.
So Avos. So Yishmael is right in the first pasuk in the beginning. Avos. He's Avos because they're brothers. We call those guys the Avos, right? You
right? Yeah, I got that.
And then Banim in the pasuk plame shot means the father's son, okay, which Yaakov's cousins, and that's as far as we got in our But then Uvanim is a reboy. The Vav is a reboy that will include another ben of Yaakov.
This is all the Mishnah.
No, this is Rav's new answer. This is the new answer from this is the end of the Gemara. Our Gemara. This is not the Mishnah. Our Mishnah argues with this. This is the that Rav learned like Rabbi Eliezer.
But so far what's listed though is what's
no, this is a Shlishi now. Ubanim is where we exceed the Mishnah. Right. Ubanim is saying a Shlishi to a Rishon. That's a Machlokes. You darshan the Vav as a Reboy. So he says you darshan the Vav as a Reboy. That'll include Reuven, but Reuven to who? Ubanim to the Avos.
To
Yishmael. Right? To Yishmael, not to the Vav, not to his first cousin once removed. And then Rabbi Eliezer argues and says one more thing. That Al Avos goes back and says, whoever we included to be usher to Yishmael, he's also included Al Avos. Add a son to that one. That's Nevoyos.
So we know Yaakov to Nevoyos, right?
That we know from Banim.
Right. So why when you go to Ubanim, do you assume now it's no longer at Nevoyos?
That's a good question. Because the Ubanim
is like a new case.
Is a new case.
So because
we only know Yaakov to Nevoyos because of a different reboy. It was a different reboy. Okay. So now we're going back to the basic structure.
You start over.
Apparently, you're right. Mm-hmm. So, but it would never include these two to each other because that would need another reboy. Because the pasuk is only talking about the Banim to the Avos.
That's how Rabbi Eliezer holds.
Rabbi Eliezer holds
3-2.
Right, 3-2. But no one holds 3-3. No one holds 3-3. And Rav says only 3-1. So that's what we have to think about that a little bit. Okay. Now the other thing that we came across in Bava Basra, I think you should just take a look at it. It's an interesting question, is Rashi Shita that holds patrilineal descent goes all the way.
That what?
That means that there's no limit to father to son, grandson, great great grandson, great 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 grandson. As long as it's father to son, it always goes down. There's no,
you wouldn't be allowed to testify. You
wouldn't be allowed to testify for your great 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 grandson. Tosis argues. No one else agrees with Rashi.
So you could have a 5-1 in the case of a grandfather, but if you go over to the brother, then
that's
that
right.
Won't work.
But in that context, I guess at this point in Bava Basra, there's a question of the father and the grandfather. So it's in that case, right?
I'll send out another message for tomorrow. But basically, that's what we'll try to take up. Then there's also, maybe we can also think about the other question of, for some reason, Tosfos is saying that on the 1 to 3, there's a Havamina that if this was a girl, let's say, Leah, that the husband would not be included in that 1 to 3. All right, well, we'll figure it out.